We'll pick up the countdown shortly here. In H-minus 10 seconds, the countdown will come directly from the timing and firing trailer.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Quantel, opt-in, opt-in, go tape.
This is Publius bringing you A Step Farther Out. Your weekly radio message from the Man and Atom Society. And I'm wishing you a very happy Saturday, the 18th of June, 2022. I suppose I should be wishing my fellow U.S. of Americans a happy Emancipation Day, our new federal holiday on June 19th, which is mostly going to be observed on Monday the 20th. That's being the way we do things in America. It's a bit of a weird choice of a holiday, I think. I would have been very happy to have a holiday celebrating the ratification of the 13th Amendment to the Constitution, which I think is one of the more noble things ever put into the Constitution of any nation. You know, slavery or involuntary servitude except as punishment for crime shall not exist within the United States. Not perfectly noble, but one of the more noble things. Juneteenth, as it's known, is a specifically Texan holiday. It commemorates the arrival of federal forces in Galveston to announce the emancipation of the slaves, the end of slavery, in 1865, the last people to have that news proclaimed to them. So it's always been a bit of an odd choice to me, especially because when my parents were growing up, Juneteenth was the only day of the year when black folks were allowed to use public swimming pools. Obviously, that's not a problem anymore. If you heard my June 4th broadcast, you know we don't have public swimming pools hardly anymore. Now, speaking of the June 4th show, so I have uploaded the show for June 4th of this year and also for October 23rd of last year. Those have not been processed yet, so if you go to grab the archives, unfortunately, you will still get what is not the shows that I uploaded, something else, which is much less useful and interesting. I do have some faith that those will be processed soon. Otherwise, you would have heard those shows if you were listening to my slot during my two-hour-long show during the SDF 35th anniversary celebration a couple of days ago, because I started with one and ended with the other, and then I had some Hear Now the Words content in between, some Skylark of Space and some Princess of Mars. So, hopefully those will be available soon. But again, if you heard the show that I made for June 4th, in which I managed to grossly slander both Western converts to Buddhism and beavers, I was kind of proud of that one, actually. But I do end it with a rant about the lack of public swimming pools. SMJ says they are updated now. I checked about 5 minutes ago and they weren't. Maybe that's different now. You know, things can happen in a hurry. Anyway, what else do I have to say for you today? Well, some of you may be aware of this. It was, in a certain way, a bit of a boost to see the German tabloid newspaper Bild about 10 days ago. I could have talked about this last week's show, actually. To see the German tabloid newspaper Bild with a screamer headline. To be sure, every issue of Bild has a screamer headline. That's just how it works. 5-6 days a week, however often they publish, screamer headline every day. But Zurück zur Atomkraft! Back to nuclear power! And then on the inner, in the page 3, I guess. Anyway, whatever, the, you know, inner front page. Where the half-title page would be in a book, was there was a little... What passes for an editorial from Bild, in that every other sentence ended with an exclamation point, which, among other things, acknowledged the fact that 20,000 people died in the 2011 earthquake and tsunami in Japan, and that wasn't as a result of the Fukushima nuclear accident. In the German media, you generally see it referred to as 20,000 Fukushima deaths, making it seem as though the nuclear accident killed 20,000 people. No, that was the earthquake and tsunami, which didn't, you know, the nuclear accident did not actually release enough radioactive material to endanger people's lives. That's something people don't quite get. Matter of fact, this is one of the things that angers me most about anti-nuclear propagandists is their cruel callousness. I was looking at the National Film Board of Canada's website for films on nuclear energy topics, and I found a few good ones, but I also found one called Meltdown, which says, you know, on March 11th, you know, 2011, Japan experienced the fifth largest earthquake in recorded history. But the real legacy of that tragedy is the nuclear accident at Fukushima Daiichi. And it's like, yeah, because the 20,000 people who died because of that earthquake and tsunami, they don't matter. They won't be missed. They can be forgotten in an instant. No, it's the nuclear power station mishap where three badly damaged reactors somehow managed to avoid releasing enough radioactive material to actually endanger anybody's life. That's the burden the world is going to have to carry for the rest of time. Jesus Christ! How much worse of a person could you be? Really. I mean, not just deliberately deceiving people. Not just actively working to make the world less habitable, but the cruel callousness of it all. So yeah, I mean, my point of view towards the Germans at this point is almost they've dug their grave, let them lie in it. You know, the German people decided years ago that they wanted to listen to lies. They wanted to believe lies. That this was more attractive to them than believing facts that were readily available. And now they're feeling the consequences of it. Yeah, I mean, Markus Söder, the minister president of Bavaria, who is really not a very nice person, from all I can find out, I have a very negative impression of him, is saying, well, surely we can at least keep the remaining nuclear power plants online until the beginning of 2024 just to get us over this little crisis. Boo-hoo. You broke it, you buy it. Because it shouldn't be forgotten, the CSU-CDU. So it was the Greens SPD coalition back in 2000 that came up with the nuclear phase-out law, but the CSU-CDU government under Merkel in 2011 was the one which finally decided to implement it. You know, they'd been talking about suspending its operation, trying to get it revoked, but instead Fukushima comes along and says, oh God, this is horrible, yeah, we've got to eliminate nuclear power. And so it was Söder who refused to allow the upgrading of the nuclear power plant at Gundremmingen. They were prepared to increase the output by several hundred megawatts, and Söder refused to countenance that, you know. So yeah, boo-hoo, you dug your grave, now lie in it, is pretty much the way I feel about Germany. Maybe I'm being mean. Maybe I'm being unkind and cruel, but again, everybody knew what the consequences of this would be, and now they're happening. And everybody is shocked and appalled. It's really something special. Similarly, with the news from France, I mean, it's a good thing that there's a new left-wing coalition which looks to be poised to take over the opposition spot in government from the utterly odious Le Pen Front, which is not even a crypto-fascist organization. I mean, Le Pen the Elder started the political party because he thought that the occupation of France by the Third Reich when he was a teenager was just the best thing that ever happened. And the Nazis had nice uniforms and, you know, they were also clean and orderly. And let's have a political party that is for that. And Marine Le Pen is, if anything, worse because she's just riding her daddy's coattails. I can't decide which of them is worse. The Nazi-worshipping bootlicker or the person who's just, you know, keeping on with it. Either way, as I say, it's a good thing, generally, that a new left-wing coalition has emerged. The problem is that this, what does they call it? Nouvelle Union Populaire Écologique Socialiste, something like that, right? Yeah, écologique, great. It's funny, you wouldn't even know that ecology is one of the empirical exact sciences by the way that these soi-disant écolos behave. I don't understand it myself. You know, people who claim to be concerned about ecology, but they can't be bothered to be informed about facts, no. And so in the platform, it calls for 100% renewable energy by 2050 and the shutdown of nuclear power plants, despite the fact that everybody can see, right? Back in the 1970s, when this was first being talked about, there were predictions of what the geopolitical, environmental, economic, and social effects of such measures would be. Now we see them. We see them very clearly. And it hasn't stopped the people who advocate for these measures advocating for them. There's something wrong with these people. They cannot change their opinions in the face of facts. They are full of a sublime moral certainty that there's something fundamentally bad about nuclear energy and it has to be opposed. Despite the fact that the things they mostly care about, you know, the NUPES, their platform calls for lowering the retirement age, shortening the work week, increasing and strengthening pensions, and something resembling a universal basic income. How are you going to do that in a low-energy society? You need energy. You need automation, right? You need machines to do the job so people don't have to work. For God's sake, this isn't hard. What else did I have to talk about? Well, some of you will have heard about this business at SpaceX, where several employees have been fired because of a letter they sent around saying, you know, Elon Musk, he's rapidly becoming sort of toxic, that his behavior, buoyed up by his apparently believing people who tell him he's the wealthiest man in the world, which is, as I've mentioned before, not really true. We're talking about the market capitalization of a closely held and thinly traded company, Tesla. Yeah. These figures saying that he's the wealthiest man in the world don't actually mean anything. 24 months ago, it was like a 20th of its current valuation. 24 months from now, it may be a 20th of its current valuation. Bunch of idiots, really. But anyway, SpaceX has fired some people for circulating an internal sort of memo saying maybe we should step back from this dude because of his ludicrous behavior, you know, saying that his rant about how people need to come back and work in the office, if they want to pretend to work, they can go to pretend to work for somebody else, despite the fact that there's no evidence, really, showing that productivity has fallen off when people are working from home. It's just that bosses who like to poke fingers in have less of an opportunity to do that. Well, boo-hoo! You can't hear me rolling my eyes, because that doesn't actually make a sound, so you're going to have to fill it in for yourself, but believe me, it's there. Anyway, and then saying, well, I'll allow exceptional employees at Twitter to work from home. And I'm thinking, this really sounds like those merchant banker outfits where they fire the lowest performing 10% of traders every year, thus basically guaranteeing that, A, people will do anything, no matter how underhanded or illegal, to make a buck and increase their standing in the ranking, and B, that there's no loyalty within the company or between people or anything, which is actually not a particularly good situation. Anyway, so, but my complaint is not against Elon, it's against Gwynne Shotwell, who actually runs SpaceX. Now, she says, you know, I say, Gwynne, this is no way to run a railroad. According to the Wall Street Journal, she says she fired the people because they were spamming, you know, other employees with lots of unsolicited emails and petitions and putting pressure on people just at the moment where there's a lot of work to be done. But I worry about that because it's pretty much the same kind of thing that companies use against union organizers. And considering that when it's corporate spamming you saying, don't get on board with that awful union, that's perfectly fine. So I have some concerns. And that follows into the main theme of my show to this weekend, which I haven't gotten through yet despite the fact that it's halfway over, as you've come to expect from me. And let's see. Oh, yes, you've probably... And speaking again of energy policy, you know, I'm just looking at the situation here in the United States, where the Strategic Petroleum Reserve is going to be empty within a couple of months. That's pretty special. Then the administration is leaning on the energy companies, so-called, that is to say the fossil fuel companies, the oil and petrochemical companies, to increase their output right now. But is also telling them, you know, you should expect to be out of business within 5 to 10 years as part of our transition to 100% renewable energy. As though that were physically possible. I'm sorry, the industrial potential simply doesn't exist. I'm not sure it could work at all, but I'm quite sure that the industrial potential to do it doesn't exist. You know, because if you want to eliminate heating oil and gas heat and motor fuel, you have to something like triple the electricity output of the United States. Kilowatt hours, not nameplate kilowatts. Which is a very different thing that solar and wind installations are good for something between one-third and one-tenth in terms of nameplate kilowatt versus kilowatt hours, what conventional power plants are good for. That's important. Anyway, but the thing is, since the gags came off the wells in 72, you know, the Texas Railroad Commission took the gags off the wells in 1972. There hasn't been a lot of excess pumping capacity in the U.S. oil industry since then. The gags came off in 72, which said the U.S. didn't have any more excess oil supply, right? Which, of course, was the signal for OPEC to step in and raise world oil prices by a factor of 4 within a few months after that. You know, the fact is the only excess capacity that there's been in the U.S. in the past 20 years or so is basically from wells that were drilled during the early phase of the fracking boom but never fractured. And the thing is that most of this, you know, a huge amount of the money that was borrowed in the first phase of the so-called fracking boom was never paid back. It was discharged in bankruptcy. So the capital markets aren't going to provide any more money for wells like that without much higher prices than we're seeing now. Even now, yes, even now. I mean, this is maybe the bottom of where they would look at investing in new wells. So the few operators that didn't go bankrupt bought up the wells that were drilled but not fracked, and they've been slowly, gradually fracking them to maintain their output. Thing is, fracturing wells have a short lifespan compared to conventional wells, and they're also expensive. And so there's no excess capacity, really, right now in America, because we've used up that supply of pre-drilled wells. And I'm fairly sure Russian military intelligence knows that. Again, so once you get the permits to drill a new well, so if you want to increase output, you basically have to drill new wells. Once you get the permits to do that, it takes several months to sometimes several years to bring a well into operation, and that depends on things like whether you can hook up to an existing pipeline or you have to lay a new one. Well, if you've been told you're not getting any permits for new wells, and you're not going to need any permits for new pipelines, how are you supposed to increase output? Similarly, if you're increasing output, you need more refinery capacity. Adding refinery capacity is a major engineering job. Typically takes 2 to 5 years. You expect to amortize the cost of it over at least 20 years. Being told, expect not to be in business in 5 to 10 years. why would you start investing in refinery capacity now, which can't come on stream now? It's going to take 2 to 5 years when you're being told you'll be out of business in 5 or 10 years. None of this makes any sense, all right? And all I can attribute it to is a bunch of poli-sci kids who don't realize that changing the physical world isn't like changing someone's mind, right? You change someone's mind, it's changed basically instantly. Their behavior changes basically instantly. You want to change the physical world, it takes time. You've got to push. There's something called inertia. Anyway, so I'm just irritated by that, because I wouldn't have thought that anyone could have been less competent, right? Could have exceeded the previous administration for utter nincompoopery, but this one is certainly trying, and the fact that they seem to be utterly without malice doesn't help, actually. It's nincompoopery. Let's see, I have a note here that... Oh, yes. I have a note here that people in Kansas... people are claiming that cattle have been dying in Kansas not from the heat, but from Bill Gates. I do think it's a problem that Bill Gates is the largest individual landowner in the United States, although he's having surpassed Ted Turner in that. Although he's still less of a landowner than the Mormon Church. But yeah, so I don't think we should be allowing wealthy individuals and so on to own large tracts of agricultural land. I think maybe the people working the land should own it. That shouldn't be a controversial opinion, should it? You might expect me to say something about this Lambda AI business that supposedly, you know, somebody at Google is claiming that one of their artificial intelligence programs is self-aware. I mean, I don't think it's true for a couple of reasons. I mean, the plain fact is I would no more expect modern so-called artificial intelligence research to come up with and to produce or result in an entity which is capable of self-directed cognition and moral responsibility than I would expect the people at Beyond Meat, manufacturers of the Impossible Burger, to produce a cow. Right. 75 years ago or so, Alan Turing said, you know, the test is, can it carry on a conversation like a human being? And immediately people in the field of computer science began doing what they call hacking the objective function. Not trying to produce consciousness, just trying to produce something that could fool a person into thinking there was a person at the other end. So the way to bet is either self-delusion or a deliberate hoax. But, I mean, my stand on artificial intelligence in general is very clear. I think I've been, you know, I think that I have not left any real ambiguity about this. And if you want clarification on the policy, I will refer you to our compliance officer, Manuel Garcia O'Kelly Davis, who can be reached during normal business hours, right, by telephone. Anyway, but the main thing that I'm here to talk about today, right, the main thing that I'm here to talk about is things made by but not for humans. And I'm not talking about Chinese opera, which is traditionally performed by an audience, for an audience of the gods and not for a human audience, which explains everything about Chinese opera. I'm not talking about the Nazca lines, which were apparently built, made to be seen by the gods, or perhaps ancient astronauts, or ancient balloonists, if you believe in them. I'm talking about the converse of what I talked about on my June 4th show, right? Because I spent a lot of that inveighing against particular kinds of anti-capitalists and so on. But the truth is, right, that the degrowthers and the Naderites and all of those people, many of whom have opposed nuclear energy as much as they've opposed anything in their lives, right, they do have a point. I think that they approach it very wrongly, but they do have a point. And the point is that in our world, there are a lot of things which we have created that do not serve the good of human beings or of the world more broadly. That's a real problem. Let me give you some examples. Euclidean zoning is one. You may wonder, Euclidean? What? It has nothing to do in particular with the famous geometer. It has to do with the town of Euclid, Massachusetts. If you've ever wondered why it is that in most parts of America, you go block after block after block after block of single-family homes, block after block after block after block of duplexes, block after block after block after block of apartment complexes, then block after block after block after block of retail, and particularly big box stores. That's Euclidean zoning at work. And it basically forces you to have a car. Among other things, it forces a really unpleasant and unfortunate model of land use, which really is detrimental to human life. Now, I can understand, right, that it wasn't intended this way in the beginning. I can give people the benefit of the doubt that they were just saying, you know, I don't want a slaughterhouse next to my home. I don't want a lead smelter next to my child's school. Okay, that makes sense. But what it's turned into is a method of land use that really locks out human life to a great extent. You know, you've got to get in the car and drive if you want anything. I'm fortunate to be on the edge of a zone so I can walk to a grocery store. I can walk and get a jug of milk or a carton of ice cream or a carton of eggs or something. You know, I mean, when I'm in Munich, it's 100 meters to the nearest grocery store, twice that to the nice grocery store, and just beyond the nicer grocery store is a subway stop. It's one subway stop down to the nicer grocery store. There, most places in the U.S., there's nothing like that. You've got to be in the urban core of some place like San Francisco, Chicago, or New York City, where you have something more European-like, where there's, you know, 4 to 6 story buildings, maybe taller than that, and the upper floors are residential, and there's some retail at street level. And that way you can almost actually kind of live in a city. But Euclidean zoning, unfortunately, forces you basically to have a car. And, of course, people talk about AIs, again. It's Cory Doctorow or Charlie Strauss, one of them, talks about slow AI. He says everything you're worried about, these, you know, paperclip-maximizing AIs, this already exists in slow motion. This is what corporations are like. And so, yeah, on the same page in the Wall Street Journal, which was talking about the firings at SpaceX, there's this thing about a Starbucks executive resigning, Rossanne Williams. It says she's been one of the coffee giant's point people in responding to an expanding unionization effort. Which, you know, doesn't make me any more favorably inclined toward her. But then she sent this email announcing her resignation. It's just the most creeptastic thing I've ever heard. I mean, this is, you know, Palpatine licking Luke's eyeballs levels of creepiness. This is, my young apprentice. It makes me want to vomit, and I don't know why anyone wouldn't want to vomit after reading it. She says, Starbucks is a company, a family, a belief system, and a tremendous light with a great future. Why can't your workplace just be someplace you go to work and earn a wage so that you can live? Why does it have to be your family and your belief system? This is really, really problematic. You know, this is bad. Just plain bad. This similarly, there's a big debate in the U.S. going on right now, political debate over abortion of all things, and I keep hearing the most insane claims being made, claims that make me really afraid. For example, that if abortion is prohibited in some places, hospitals will collapse because the number of women showing up for labor and childbirth will double or triple. If that's true, then our society has failed. It has collapsed. You know, it's not just a case of it's collapsing and we haven't noticed. No, it has collapsed and we haven't noticed it yet. You know, similarly, to a lesser extent, but similarly, the business with how median childbearing age in the U.S. is now 30 years. And the thing is, we know that one of the contributions to the high rate of maternal mortality and birth defects in the U.S. is high age of childbearing. But guess what? Well, you can't have a baby as a teenager, it'll ruin your life. Well, if so, our society has failed, because people have always done that. That's how human life is. You have to build your society around people. This, you know, it's like the new Soviet man up in here. you know, where we're going to just expect humanity to conform to our bizarre new paradigm. Anyway, send your cards and letters to Post Office Box 1035, Fort Worth, Texas, United States.